Redeemer, Jesus Christ our Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
And all God's people said.
Thank you, Steve, for the song. Turn to Matthew once again, if you will, please, to chapter 13. The title of the message today is Parables and More Parables. Jesus gave many parables to teach heavenly lessons to people. Some of them had a lot of understanding. Some of them were very unlearned men, as we see in the scriptures there, common men. And so he tried to make things understandable for them. And that's what we need to do when we come to the Word of God, isn't it? We need to have things so that people can understand them. And as we look at the parables and more parables, three things we'll see this morning as we go through this. We'll see the reason for parables, the parable of the wheat and tares that we read a moment ago, at least part of the parable we read, and then two parables that are very brief, the mustard seed and the leaven, and see what the Lord has to teach us through these parables this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. It is indeed the Word of God, not the Word of man. And we thank you that it is eternal, that it is infallible, and it will not return void. It will accomplish that which you have sent it forth to do. And Father, we pray as we look into it this morning that your Holy Spirit would take your Word and use it in our hearts and lives. May we be strengthened spiritually for the spiritual food that we receive from it. And again, we pray if there's anyone without Christ here this morning, that through your Word, the Holy Spirit would speak to that heart and draw them to Christ. We know that we can come to Christ only when the Holy Spirit draws us. We cannot go on our own time and our own schedule. And so we pray if anyone's heart is being drawn to Christ, that they would not reject him, but turn to him. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at the reason for parables this morning, first of all, Jesus is giving this parable. And last week we looked at the parable of the sower and the soil and how people's hearts are different. And we saw that three of the four soils or hearts rejected God's word, but the fourth one fell on good soil and it produced fruit, and that was an indication that these people are saved and people hear the word of God. And so this morning we want our hearts to be fertile soil so that when we hear God's word, it accomplishes in us what God wants it to accomplish, and we don't turn it away. Well, in verses 10 through 12, we see that there's a truth revealed. He says in these verses that we read earlier that he wants us to know the mysteries of God. God gave us the Bible so that he could reveal to his people, to his children, what he has for them. In verses 10 through 12, verse 10, it says, the disciples came and said to him, "Why speakest thou to them in parables?" And he answered and said, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Last week we looked and we finished up at verse 23. But in the middle of that parable, as he gave the parable of the soil, he was giving some other information, and when he finished, they came back to him. And I kind of skipped this section intentionally last week from verses 10 through 17 so we could see it this morning. Notice it says, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Do you know it's not given to everyone? It's given to God's children because we're part of a family, and he has a mystery that we as believers know because we have the Spirit of God living within us. The Bible says if any man had not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. And the only way that we can understand spiritual things is by having the Spirit of God in us to reveal them. And he gives those things to us so that we have an understanding. But not only did he want the believers to understand what he had for them, he also wanted to conceal the truth, excuse me, and those that were unsaved. It says in verses 13 and through 15, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." And so as they look at this, we see that unsaved people, they can't understand. 1 Corinthians tells us that the things of the Spirit of God are spiritually discerned here. And so Jesus talked at one time about casting your pearls before swine. And so as he's teaching these wonderful family truths, truths about the family of God, they didn't understand them because they weren't part of the family. When a family gets together, when a loved one passes away, if there's an inheritance or there's a will, and they call people together to go over that, is given to the family. And so that's what Jesus is doing. He's speaking to the disciples, to believers, but they're unsaved people listening, and they just don't understand what's going on. And even today, a lot of people, unsaved people, they're not sure what's going on. They see all the things going on, and we can see God's word unfolding, prophecies being fulfilled. And so we know that God is going to send back Jesus the second time. The first time he came and he was there in Bethlehem, but when he comes back the second time, it's going to be a glorious return there. But also the third reason, before we get into the wheat and tares, we see that there's a truth fulfilled in Psalm 78. It says, "Give ear, O my people." I think it's up here. "O my people." See, he's talking to his people. "Listen to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." And this is what we refer to as a messianic psalm. And this psalm is talking about the Savior. When he comes, he's going to speak in parables. He's going to speak so that people can understand the truth of the Word of God. And notice what he says in verse 16. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and the righteous men, they desired to see those things which you see, but they have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, but they have not heard them." And so the prophets of old and the righteous people in the Old Testament, they saw these things and they were looking forward to the Messiah who would come and explain these things to them and suffer for them, as Isaiah said, and they longed to see those things, and they didn't get to see them. Jesus says, your eyes are blessed. Yours are blessed. And so are ours, aren't they? Because with our spiritual understanding, our eyes and ears, we can read these parables and we understand what Jesus is talking about. Now, we may not understand every single thing, and there are some things that we still not fully understand, but it's a wonderful thing to know that we could understand the lessons that Jesus taught over 2,000 years ago. Just like we saw last week, the parable of the sower, he goes out and he sows the seed, and it falls on four different kinds of soil, and each of those soils represented the four different kinds of hearts. Jesus is talking to a lot of people who were familiar with agriculture. Of course, they didn't have the grocery stores like we do today, you know, and so they were providing for themselves. And so out of all these parables that he gives, the disciples come to him after he gives this parable. In verse 36, it says, Jesus sent the multitude away and went to the house. His disciples came to him and said, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. They didn't quite understand this parable, and so they wanted to understand it. And so maybe they understood the other ones, maybe they didn't. For some reason, this one intrigued them, and they asked him about it. And notice what he says in verse 25. It says, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And so as we look at this parable of the wheat and the tares, we'll see several things. And we're going to spend most of our time this morning in this parable. We'll finish with the mustard seed and the leaven. Notice that they are planted together. There are two seeds. And here they are planted in the same field, growing up together. Now these were tares. They were not obvious weeds. And there's a difference in those, because these tares, the word is, the Greek word is zizanium. And there is a wild rice that's called zizanium that people eat, but that's not what it's referring to. Darnel is something that's usually referred here. It's false wheat. It looks just like it. And as it's growing up, it looks like the real thing, but it's not. Weeds are not like that. Weeds are many times obviously weeds. But here are these two seeds, and they're in the same field. They're both growing up together, and the Bible tells us that the field is the world, verse 38. The field is the world. The seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked world, wicked one. And so we see that there's one field. It's the world, and people grow up in the world. Some people belong to the family of God. Some people belong to the family of Satan. Those are the only two choices that he's giving here. People are either saved or they're lost. There's not a middle ground here. And sometimes people will grow up not just in the same nation, but sometimes people will grow up in the same church and grow up in church all their lives. But they're not wheat, they're tares. Even in the same Christian family, you can have brothers or sisters that grow up together in the same family, and some become wheat and trust the Lord to get saved, and some are tares. They might look like their siblings, but they're not. And that's what this parable is teaching us here, that there are two seeds. One grows up and it's genuine. Another one grows up and it looks like the other one, but it's false. It's not. And so it's a warning for us today, isn't it? That each one of us check our hearts. That's what the Bible says. To make sure you're saved. Make sure that your life is not just a tare, that you indeed are wheat. And so we see the two different seeds, and Jesus said, and there are two sowers. And these sowers come, and one of them is Christ in verse 37. It says, he that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. Verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels there. And so there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of the devil. And in every kingdom, there are two things. There's a king, and there are subjects under that king. And so we are either subjects and submissive to the King of glory, or we are subjects to the King of Satan. There's no middle ground. We're either saved or we're lost there. And he says in verse 25, the enemy did this, notice when it was, while men slept. You know, it's possible for people to sleep spiritually. Satan works 24/7, doesn't he? And if we sleep literally on Sunday morning and don't come together with God's people, you know, to grow in the Lord, if we sleep instead of reading our Bible and praying, if we go to sleep spiritually and lay aside these things, we can be assured that Satan and his demons are working overtime to plant tares. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy. Remember, it was an enemy that did this. It wasn't a friend there. And there are two kingdoms there. And so we need to be sure we don't slack off in our service to God, because Satan will come along and he'll do all he can to destroy, because he is an enemy, isn't he? He wants to destroy. So we see that they were planted together, but also these wheat seeds and these tares, they progressed together in verse 26. When the blade was sprung up, it brought forth fruit. Then appeared the tares also. But they didn't bring forth fruit, did they? Because they weren't real. They were tares. They were false wheat. And so here, verse 30, Jesus says, let both grow together. And as I said a moment ago, sometimes even in a Christian home, there'll be children that grow up together. Some will get saved. Some won't get saved there. And so they're right here together and they're growing up. They're progressing together, and they might even go to church together and appear to be saved. There's a difference in having a knowledge of the Bible and knowing God personally there. And a lot of people can talk the talk of Christianity because they know the lingo and they know all of these things and they look like believers, but they're not. And it's not our job to go and say that one is and that one isn't. We don't know, do we? The purpose of the parable, it says, examine your own heart. Make sure that you're wheat and not a tare. Make sure that you're not just growing up among other Christians, among the wheat, and you yourself are a tare, because they grow together, but also they look alike. Christian grooming, I guess, is what we're calling this today. Some unsaved people, they look like Christians. Now, I don't mean that they wear a tie or suit, you know, or things like that, or cut their hair a certain way. I mean they look like Christians in the way that they act and talk. They might use the word blessed instead of lucky. You know, we're not lucky as Christians, we're blessed, you know. Or they might say that they are very thankful. And Christians ought to be thankful. But sometimes people can talk the right talk and say the right things and know some of the scripture. And that's what this warning is. This warning is about, make sure that you're wheat, that you're not just growing among the wheat and looking like the wheat on the outside there, like Islam. If you look at the religion of Islam, we wouldn't say that's a tare, something that resembles Christianity, would we? It's pretty obvious that that's wheat there. You look at immoral lifestyles, the gay and lesbian community or something, you know, and they might talk the lingo, and even Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. Now, for us as discerning Christians, we can see that those are tares, because they do fool a lot of people, don't they? But we see that Jesus is telling that just because somebody can talk the talk and they look like the wheat, the real thing, it doesn't mean that they are. And so he says, not only is the growth the same, the grooming is often the same, but notice the grain. There's something different about the grain here. The tares had these little black seeds in them. They didn't produce fruit that they could harvest and feed their families with it. there. Whenever the wheat, the genuine wheat, when it was at full growth, because of the fruit at the top, the weight of them would cause the wheat to kind of bow a little bit. But the tares, they didn't have that. So they would just stand up straight. And we know the Bible, as we learn a lesson of humility from this, the Bible says if we're going to come to Christ, we humble ourselves and we come as a child. And not just, you know, keeping our head above everything else with pride. Because pride is what caused Satan to fall from heaven. And pride is what keeps a lot of people unsaved today, not willing to admit that I am a sinner and in need of the grace of God. And so there's the genuine wheat that has grain that is fruit. It produces something, just like the seed that fell on good soil. It produced something. There's fruit. The Bible says as we're saved, there is fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is because the Holy Spirit is within us. You can't have fruit of the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit. And we get the Spirit the moment that we're saved. We ask Christ to save us, and immediately we have the Spirit of God. Well, not only were these two planted together, they progressed together, they were also processed together. He said, let them grow until the harvest. Both of them grow together. And in verse 30, he says, in the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Harvest time is coming. Now, some people look at this parable. I'm going to go off on a little bit of theology for just a minute, but I won't linger too far on that, because as you look at parables, and if you try to develop too much theology from the parables, you can kind of go astray. Many of you may be familiar with the term amillennial, those who believe that there is no millennial kingdom. They believe that Christ is coming back, but whenever he comes back, there's not going to be a literal 1,000 years on earth. There's not going to be a rapture as we believe. Amillennialists, and most of you know I grew up in an amillennial church there, and so they believe that Jesus is coming back, and when he does, they would take this parable and say, when Jesus comes back again, the saved to go into heaven and the lost to go into hell. Well, that is true. Saved to go into heaven and lost to go into hell. But there are some other scriptures that we read that teach us about the rapture, about the tribulation, about the millennial kingdom, and they're not in here. And so just because they're not in this parable doesn't mean we say there is no literal tribulation, no literal millennial kingdom. We know that both of those are, and we don't have time to look at those verses this morning because we're looking at this parable of the wheat and the tares. And so as they're going to be processed together, when the end time comes, the harvest is coming, he says, bind them in bundles and burn them, the tares. They're useless. In the end of the world, look at verse 40. Go down to the explanation of this parable. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. Notice these two groups, the things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The reason Jesus is trying to give this warning is because for those that grow up among the wheat, but they're really tares. And they are groomed like the wheat, but they're really tares. And they have all the language and the appearance of wheat, but they're really tares. There's a bitter end, isn't it? There is a furnace of fire and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So Jesus says, make sure before the time of harvest comes that you're wheat and not a tear there, because they will be bound and burned and lost forever. But notice what happens to the wheat, the genuine grain. It is not bound and burned, but rather It is stored and saved. And verse 30, those that are genuine believers, it says, let both grow together to harvest. In the time of harvest, I'll send the reapers, gather first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And those that are genuinely saved, they're going to be gathered by the angels, Jesus said here, and we're going to spend eternity with the Lord. God preserves us. He stores us. He saves us. When God saves us, the moment we trusted Christ to save us, He began a process in us, a process of salvation, justification, sanctification, glorification. And the Bible says whatever God begins, He will finish. And He began this work, and He will accomplish it, and He has saved us. And back to those two things I pointed out earlier in verse 41, two groups of people, those that offend, and not in the sense of offending in today's terminology. It seems like everybody gets offended about anything, you know, their feelings hurt or something. But this word means to cause someone to stumble. And as I look at verse 41, I see Jesus speaking to two groups of people. The religious leaders that cause people to stumble because they offer religion that doesn't save, a religion that keeps them tares, if you will. And then those that do iniquity, those that are the obvious weeds, they don't even look like tares there. And so there's no mistaking them to the Lord at the end of the world. In verse 43, there's no mistaking the believers. It says, the righteous, the wheat, shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. There's the warning. When Jesus has that phrase, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear, there's a strong warning. And the warning is, make sure you're grain. Make sure you're wheat, that you're not tares. There are only two kingdoms. There's God's kingdom, and there's Satan's kingdom. There's heavenly kingdom, and there's the eternal condemnation of Satan there. And we want to make sure that we're saved. Not just brought up in a Christian home, brought up in a Bible-believing church, brought up in a Christian school. All those things are good. They don't make a person saved, do they? And so people can be in that and still be tares. And so there's the warning there. Now let's finish this last one, much shorter. There, the mustard seed and the leaven. Notice the size of each. The mustard seed in verse 32, it says, it is the least of all seeds. But when it's grown, it's the greatest among herbs, becomes a tree, so the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And the church of God, the kingdom of God, was very small then. Jesus was just starting the church as we know it there. But it had a great impact, didn't it? And even today, the church of God, the kingdom of God, is small compared to unsaved people. It always will be. And the world doesn't have a lot of respect and a lot of interest in what we have to say from the Word of God. They want public opinion, those kinds of things. But here, Jesus says, a grain of mustard seed, it's small. But notice what happens after it grows up. It might be small, but it has great significance. And so does the church of God. The Bible says that here we are as the kingdom of God. We are salt and light, and it doesn't matter if we are unlearned like the fishermen of Jesus' day, or if we are educated like the Apostle Paul was. It doesn't matter the level of education. The important thing to know is we can be used of God, even as a small mustard seed was. And time will prove it, will it not? At verse 32, it says, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of herbs there. And time will prove if it's wheat or if it's tares. Time will prove if a person is genuine or not. But whenever a person dies and he stands before God, it's too late to get saved then. And so Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear there. Be sure that you're part of the kingdom of heaven. Look at the verse 33. Another parable, he says, the kingdom of heaven's like leaven. You put just a little bit, a woman took it and she hid it, and 3 measures of meal to the whole was leaven. So it affected the whole thing. And so as we think about God being able to use us, we think about a little tiny seed, a little bit of leaven there. And there are several stories in the Bible, and I'll just have 4 as an example before we close. Remember Rahab the harlot. She put that rope down, the scarlet thread, as it was called. It was something little compared to the whole city. But yet because of that, everyone in the house was saved there. And the widow, Elijah, came, and all she had was a little bit of oil. And he said, you go and make a cake for me first, and then you go and make one for you and your son. And she did, and she kept using it and using it and using it. Wasn't much there, but it kept going and going and going. Remember Elijah when he prayed there, and there was this little cloud in the sky. He said, the servant came back and said, after he had been sent several times by Elijah, yeah, I see a cloud that's about the size of a man's hand. Can't do much with a cloud like that. But you know the story probably, where the rains came and it poured, and it came a very strong storm out of a little cloud. And then the last one, very familiar to everyone, is the little lad who had a little lunch there. But he took that, and Jesus blessed it. And after he blessed it, he distributed it. And with a little bit from a little lad, God was able to do significant things. And so this morning, you may feel like you don't have much education, or you can't sing or play an instrument, you can't do this. And oftentimes, we focus on what I can't do. And where we ought to be focusing on, what can I do? It may be little in my sight, but we just saw from this mustard seed, it might be small at the beginning, but when God is finished doing with it what he wants to do with your life and with whatever ability, whether it's a gift of helps or a gift of showing mercy, God can use you regardless of how little you may think of yourself and what your abilities are. When God finishes with it, it is great. It tells us that the birds of the air come. They find refreshment. They find lodging there. And God wants to use you to do great things as well. Regardless of how little we may have, God can use us. But before that can be done, we go back to the wheats and the tares. He says, make sure that you're wheat, because then God can use you, be stored, and people can be fed and nourished. And make sure that you're not tares, that you don't just look like the wheat, that you don't just look like a believer, but there's been a genuine time where you trusted Christ. He came into your heart. He put his spirit within you. And you know without a doubt, if he were to come today, the harvest would come and the Lord would come back and take the church away. Do you know for certain that you would go to be with him? And that's what Jesus says. If you have ears to hear, make sure you're saved there, because at the time of the harvest, it'll be too late. Don't let Satan come while you sleep and plant the seeds of doubt. Know for sure that you're saved, and then God can take whatever little you have, he can use it to be significant for the kingdom of God.